friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going In Raw. It's our Beast in the East special. It's not really a special edition because Dan's not here.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is the one where he felt that he got some comeuppance on the WWE universe in general, on the stateside WWE universe, because he didn't have to stay up late for Beast of the East, but if we wanted to watch it, we had to.
Well, yeah, stay up late or get up early.
Or get up, yeah, I guess, yeah, get up at 3 in the morning or stay up until 3 in the... I was up that night until like 2 in the morning, and then I realized that the next day was the 4th of July, and I had to be up bright and early for the Rancho Cordova parade, and I wasn't about to stay up late for Beast in the East. So instead, I just woke up my normal time, and I watched like a couple matches, and then I watched a couple more matches after that, like later on in the day, I think, or the next day, and then I stopped at Kevin Owens and Finn Balor. I stopped after that match, and I don't think I really missed anything from what I understand.
No, not really, and God forbid you missed the 4th of July parade in Rancho Cordova.
That's never going to happen. That will never, ever happen. I will never miss the 4th of July parade in Rancho Cordova. I'm kind of bummed out that I had to miss the finale. It's not really a finale. It just trails off.
Yeah,
it's
a whimper. It ends on a whimper.
It always ends on a whimper.
It just kind of ends. It peters off.
Yeah, and so maybe when we have our float next year, we can request to be the grand finale.
Yeah, we should request to be placed at the end.
Exactly, and we'll make it the biggest event that Rancho Cordova has ever seen.
Yeah.
It'd be like the time Tesla, like, drove through town. Didn't stop. Drove through town.
We mean the band Tesla?
Yeah.
They're from Sacramento.
I don't think...
They don't have to
Sacramento.
Drive through. They are here. They live here.
They don't live in Rancho, though.
No, but they live in Sacramento.
I wasn't referring, of course, to Nikolai Tesla.
No.
No. All right. So anyways, let's go ahead and get to the Beast in the East, and we'll talk a little bit about Raw and what's coming up tonight. And then the gorilla position, I'm rather proud of. I just want, like, you and I are kind of lukewarm on the gorilla position these days, where we debate endless topics.
Yeah.
And so I want to just try to make these as ridiculous as possible.
Okay.
And then I've got a really fun kayfabe corner, which thematically is very close to my heart. So we'll see. You're going to know pretty much right away what the theme is.
Is it about donuts?
No, but that's a good one. I'll have to think about that one now.
Okay.
So far, our Beast in the East, though, first, Jericho Neville kicked off the show in what was a good, fun, technical matchup between two guys who have a plethora of ring ability.
Yeah, I couldn't stop staring at Chris Jericho's gut, though.
He's got old man fitness gut.
Yeah, he's not fat, but he's not fat.
It's
getting a little flabby around the midsection.
You can see his abs still. It's just he's got puffy fitness gut. I think that's what it is.
But,
and you see this happen with a lot of older guys.
It's puffy fitness gut, but it could easily turn into a full-on beer belly.
It is a six-pack away from being an actual beer belly. I'll agree with you on that.
And you don't mean six-pack as in abs. You mean six-pack as in actual...
A literal six. He's going to go
six
out
cans
some,
of beer.
He's going to get some Pacifico. Or if he's in Japan, he'll get some Asahi dry. Mm-hmm. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
And he'll be right there. He'll be looking like Kevin Owens. You know what I think? I realize bugs me about Kevin Owens, because I was watching Bray Wyatt and his gut,
mm-hmm.
and his gut runs nicely from his chest area. There's a good slope there. There's
mm-hmm.
a good angle there. Kevin Owens, it's like he's got his chest and then a big pregnant circle comes out. And then so he needs to shave like 15 pounds off that for him to be acceptable to me.
Okay.
Which is kind of all that matters. Otherwise, it just looks like he's going to hurt his back. I have a degenerative disc disease.
No, you don't.
I do. I looked up the symptoms of all the various lower back ailments, and that's the one, the symptoms of that. Fits me perfectly.
Until you receive that diagnosis from a trained medical professional, I'm not believing you. WebMD is not.
How much do you want to bet that I have lumbar degenerative disc disease?
2 bits.
That's 25 cents, I think.
Yeah, it is 25 cents.
Okay. I'll take you up on that bet.
All right, go get it checked out soon, next time it flares up, and we will settle this bet.
Like, it's always flaring up. My back is just in a constant state of mess. So anyways... it was a fun matchup, though. Jericho still has some gas left in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was fun to see. It was fun to see Jericho go over on Neville too. I thought that was neat.
Yeah, I think he's really popular in Japan.
Yes. Yeah, I think he is too. And it was cool. You know, usually they try out these old timers who are sort of part timers or whatever to lose. Mm-hmm. But I like, and because Neville's kind of hot right now, I kind of like that they had him go over on Neville. Neville's gonna be one of those guys who I don't think losses are gonna hurt him as much as other guys like Owens. Losses would hurt Owens. He needs to win when he needs to. Like this one, this didn't hurt Owens. This Finn Balor thing didn't hurt him. We'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But
if Owens came out and he lost like legit to like a Neville or something like that, that would hurt him more.
Well,
than
Neville
losing.
It would all depend on who he lost to. If he came out and lost to The Rock, it wouldn't hurt him at all.
But conversely, you see a guy like Neville, and I don't think losses, because he's so interesting in the ring. In terms of, like, that's his shtick. He doesn't have anything else beyond,
that's his gimmick, cool in the ring. I mean, he doesn't really even have a character. He just has the man that Gravity Forgot gimmick.
He has, like, really, really, his ears are out of control.
We'll talk about this more when we start talking about Finn Balor, because this is all kind of wrapped up in my issue with all that, so.
Lesnar defeated, quite handedly, Kofi Kingston.
That first German suplex, I thought he killed Kofi.
I thought he did too. Like Kofi really just that was not a safe move right there. That was dangerous.
No.
Kofi landed incorrectly on that move.
Yeah.
And then he got murdered the rest of the time. It's funny, whenever I see a match like that, running through my head is always like, am I about to see somebody get paralyzed?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that Lesnar's gonna do that shit. And Lesnar's a rough worker anyways.
Yeah.
It always makes me think, oh, dude, I really don't want to see somebody get like annihilated here. That does not interest me. Like I'm fine gets like to see annihilated, but I don't want to see somebody legit get hurt.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I always get that feeling that whenever somebody steps in the ring with Lesnar, you just have to accept you're gonna legit get hurt.
Yeah.
Right? Like I kind of feel that way. Like if you like Randy Orton, we've heard is a safe worker. I feel like you go in the ring with Randy Orton, you're probably gonna be okay. Lesnar's the kind of guy, because he doesn't wrestle a lot, you just have to figure, okay, I'm going to go in there, I'm probably going to hurt a lot tomorrow.
Well, then, and also, his tendency to work stiff is so entwined with his character that he has to work that way.
Right, exactly, yeah.
I mean, during the package last night, Heyman referred to him as the most real competitor, the most real champion WWE's ever had, which means he's you know, a legit fighter, which means he has to work stiff.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
Yeah. I was surprised. Has he been on a WWE 2K cover lately?
Not that I know of. And I was expecting Lesnar to be on the cover this year.
I was too. I had it in my mind. I'm like, are they going to? Because I know it was like a Stone Cold themed, the career mode thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are the rumors. I don't know if it was confirmed by Lawler, but wasn't ever confirmed by 2K until today.
Right. I figured that would be. I mean, when Lawler confirmed, I was like, okay, well, that makes sense. I guess they'll put Austin on the cover, but I figured they'd like want to keep current and put Lesnar on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess not. Maybe they'll save that for next year. Next year, who do you think is going to be on WWE 2K17, the cover?
I guess Lesnar.
That's it. I'm thinking it's going to be...
Unless they have a DX thing and have Shawn Michaels and Triple H on it.
Oh, that'd be weak. That'd be weak. Put Lesnar on there.
Or the NWO.
Let's talk about Owens and Balor, and let's get to Finn Balor. Is he going to be... See, I think that you came up with this topic just to run him down.
Not to run him down, but to talk about it. The current situation, yes.
Finn Balor won the NXT title from Kevin Owens in what I thought was a fantastic match.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I thought it was really good. I thought that there was a lot of good storytelling in there. I think Owens, I don't know, it was just one of those matches where I thought they told a good story that had a good climax to it. And I'm still... Let's talk about Finn Balor. This was kind of coming a mile away. Like they hyped him to no end leading up to this.
Yeah.
And so you kind of saw this coming with Owens moving up to the main roster. It kind of made sense. I was hoping they would keep the NXT belt on him for a while and have him do double duty.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that as well, that at least until he won the US Championship.
Because I thought that would have really helped. I mean, not that NXT really needs to solidify themselves as a franchise or that franchise as a proper, but I thought it would help. I was like, you know what, you got this badass who's proud of his belt, who's proud of his franchise, who doesn't think of his franchise as his brand or whatever as a developmental league, even though that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of was hoping that they would keep it on, but I mean, I'm fine with them doing. I like Finn Balor. What's your beef with them? I think this is the thing. I think you and I feel the exact same way about him, but you think of him in a negative light, and I think about him in a positive.
Here's what I feel. I don't think he does anything poorly. He's good across the board. I don't think there's anything about him as he's presented now that transcends good, though. I don't feel like the Finn Balor character is as fleshed out as Kevin Owens or as Sami Zayn. I feel like I feel like he's still kind of existing purely as a gimmick where he's a guy, and then for these high profile matches he channels the demon, but there really is no difference between normal Finn Balor and the demon possessed Finn Balor in terms of how he presents himself in the ring.
Yeah.
Other than the body paint, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna channel some entity, then there should be a manifestation of it in how you actually wrestle, I feel like. Like if for these main event matches, when he does the full body paint, he should have a new moveset, which I don't like his moveset. It's all jump kicks. That's all he does is jump kicks.
And you know what? Jump kicks are the worst move in video games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how you know a move is crappy in real life, is if it's crappy in a video game. We never choose a jump kick.
No.
It takes too long. It takes too long, exactly. It can always be stopped.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's not a bad worker. He's decent in the ring. Yeah. I just don't feel like there's anything about him that's... When I see him in NXT, I think, okay, when he goes to the main roster, he'll have a decent mid-card career. I don't see him...
Yeah.
Being a legit main eventer like Owens, I see a legit main eventer because there's more to him than he's just the badass guy. I mean, there's more depth to his character. He's an actual character.
I agree with everything you just said. He's not he doesn't have an established character in terms of like a Sami Zayn, who I was trying to think of sort of the differences. Sami Zayn, just his personality has established him as a character.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't have anything, you know. Kevin Owens sort of is a bully with a chip on his shoulder, and that suits him perfectly.
Yeah, but his rationale for what he does kind of humanizes him in a way because he says he's doing it all just to provide for his family.
Right.
You know,
the thing that I see about Finn Balor that I like, that I'm sort of buying into, is his upside. It's his potential. Because I look at a guy like Neville and I see, oh my God, this guy amazes me in the ring. But there's been so few instances of guys who are just amazing in the ring and have no, I don't think Neville has any charisma whatsoever. I think he's completely like he's not a handsome guy. He can't talk for, like, I know he's British.
Mm-hmm.
But when he talks on the mic, I don't even hear really a British accent.
Yeah.
I just hear a guy who can't talk very well. like it should be the exact opposite. Like, you hear a British guy, like, listen to Lord. If you ever listen to Stephen Regal or William Regal on Steve Austin's podcast, you can't stop listening.
I know.
Because his British accent is so charming and magnetic.
And he's also very well spoken.
And he's a very well spoken guy. And when Neville talks, it sounds like he's got stuff in his mouth. I don't know why it is. But the thing about Balor is that with all these promos they've been running and all this stuff they've been running, I will grant you that at this point he doesn't have like an established character. Like, there's no emotional reason to buy into the guy.
Yeah.
But he's a really handsome dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good look to him. He can talk.
Mm-hmm.
He, in terms of like getting across his personality when it's one-on-one, like with the camera.
Yeah.
Whether or not he can cut a promo is kind of a different area. I haven't seen him cut an amazing promo.
Yeah, yet. I haven't either.
It's kind of fun. This is completely neither here nor there, but like after, like post match, after it was all said and done, you know who Finn Balor looked like? He looked like somebody who had just had a fireworks explosion go off in his face because he had all that like ashy like makeup on and his hair was all crazy and his makeup was kind of runny. He looked like somebody who'd just been arrested for like illegally setting off fireworks in like his face or something. Like, and then like backstage, like, I don't know, it made me laugh. Like, I couldn't take him seriously. That being said, like, he can tell a story in the ring.
Yeah.
Which goes a long way, I think.
Like I said before, I don't think he sucks in any department. I just don't see anything in what he's presented so far, or how he's been presented so far, that will transcend good into
great. I think he's better than good, maybe not great, but I think he's better than good, especially at this point in his young WWE career, at telling a story in the ring. I think that goes a long, long way. I think you match up somebody else like him who has the same maybe skill set in terms of the moves they do. Because you're right, there's nothing transcendent about his moveset, and I hate his finisher. The coup de grace is terrible.
It's terrible.
I can't. It looks like he's going to kill his ankles every single time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand that. I wish he'd get a different one. But I think if you match up somebody else in NXT who has maybe his skill set in terms of moves, I think he can tell a story better than anybody else in NXT. I really do. I think that match with Owens, I think, proved that. Every time I see a Finn Balor match, you're right. There's something I can't pin. It's something that I'm like, yeah, you know, there's nothing special about his moves. In fact, I'm not even huge on his moves. He doesn't have a lot of personality per se. I like the whole get-up thing. But I think the fact that he can tell a story keeps me riveted every time he's in the ring. And I think that can go a long way. And I think his promo skills and his personality eventually will come out. It's just he's so brand new. It's, I mean, I know Owens, look, Owens is a cut above the rest.
Mm-hmm.
We both know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't expect him to be sort of at that level immediately. But I do think that I think he has some natural charisma. It's just a matter of, can he figure out the mic and how to show off that he has a natural charisma?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, in one way, the charisma issue with Titus O'Neil. The guy obviously has tons of charisma.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the WWE letting him package it in a way that it's going to come across. And they're sort of doing that now because people are starting to see him and realize. I mean, he's always going to be best, I think, as a comedy act. But I think Finn Balor, if you look at Shawn Michaels' early days, he did not have a lot of personality coming into the WWE.
Well, he had a lot of swagger, though.
He had swagger, but people, I don't know. I think people are pretty cool on him until he started doing until he was a bit more out with his personality.
Well, I kind of feel like that whenever Balor makes his main roster debut, it'd be far more interesting if they had him come up as a heel.
Yeah, I wonder if they, I wonder if they, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
And I think the big issue for me is the moveset, specifically when he's in the demon persona. There's got to be a difference.
You're exactly right on that. I mean, that's a great observation there that I would love to see, because it would it's kind of, what's the analogy? There's somebody else I think who, when they do a, so they turn on a certain switch, it's like, oh crap, they're doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember who I'm trying to think about who it is right now. Anybody, if you want to leave comments or something, let us know. But somebody. Oh man, what is it? It's kind of like Kane with the mask on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, you're going to get, you know, he's now supernatural.
Yeah.
As opposed to Kane, the insurance salesman.
Yeah.
In which case. All right. So yeah, I don't know. I see potential in him. You're skeptical. I think those are kind of the same two things.
Yeah.
But I'm cautiously optimistic and you're cautiously pessimistic.
I like to think that I'm presented with what I've seen so far. That's just my take on it. If he starts exceeding my expectations, then I will react accordingly.
I'm fine with him winning the NXT title right now, though, because I don't know who else. I mean, if like I said, if they had to give it to somebody,
always expected them to have Owens drop it to Samoa Joe. That's what it kind of seemed like they were setting up.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the hell they're doing with Samoa Joe right now.
Yeah, he had a decent introduction, and then he's just kind of been there.
He's just kind of been... Is he fighting Owens at the next NXT thing?
I don't think so. By the time the next NXT thing comes around, I'm sure Owens will be full-time on main.
Huh, I don't know. Did they already fight, like, an actual match?
They did, but it ended in a no contest.
Oh, pfft, whatever. That'll be interesting. I don't know.
So I don't know what they have planned for that.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. I'm back to being lukewarm and Samoa Joe anyways. I like whenever people debut, and then it's up to them to keep me interested, and he kept me interested. So anyways, that's Finn Balor. We'll see where he goes. I think he, instead of being hot shit in 2 years, he might be shit. I would love to see him debut as a heel, though. That would be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. That would give him something to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
That would give him, maybe, see if his personality can sink or swim, I guess.
That's kind of why I'm hoping that happens, because I always kind of feel like you get a more accurate idea of how much charisma someone has when they work heel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Heel to babyface, I think we both know, is always, always the recipe for the strongest. I mean, look at the strongest babyfaces in, like, sort of recent, like Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest babyface, fuck, at this point, maybe even ever. You know, mm-hmm. like, in terms of pure babyfaces, I mean, there's Hogan and there's Cena. Austin was he was a tweener, you know, like, yeah, he was a badass. But Cena, like, but he was a heel first, mm-hmm. you know? When mm-hmm. you're a heel first...
Or The Rock. The Rock was a heel. The Rock well, was he was a face, and he turned heel. And then yeah. he got, you know, he really got
But no, he was a heel. Heel. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Moving right along. It's time for...
Raw cap.
Going in Raw cap. Because we're going in Raw. Somebody made a point the other last week. They were like, why do you guys do this on Monday? You're talking about shit that's a week old. So let's talk about what happened on Raw, but like how it's going to affect tonight's Raw.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Okay.
So last week, Rollins gave... We'll do this briefly because I think I'm on limited time. Rollins gave J&J Security a Cadillac.
Yeah, and Kane a vacation, and all of them Apple Watches.
The Kane vacation Hawaii thing was my personal favorite.
Yeah, that was great.
That made me fucking laugh my ass off. I was cracking up. He was like, for me, really? Kane in Hawaii. What did he say? He said, I've always dreamed about being on a beach debating what kind of animal I can throw into a volcano.
Yeah.
And Rollins like, what? Okay, whatever. Now they're saying that Brock is going to be there tonight. And he might just dismantle the Cadillac live on air.
He should German suplex it.
He should German suplex it and then eat it.
I feel like he has the ability to lift the car up and German suplex it.
I feel he has the ability to eat it. I think anytime you use any
Why do you think Brock Lesnar is a competitive eater? That's what I don't understand.
Any action verb used in conjunction with the name Brock Lesnar can be changed to eat or eaten or eating.
Is it because he's sponsored by Jimmy John sandwiches?
I just think he can devour anything. He's okay. like the Galactus of real life.
Okay.
He can eat. He's the devourer of all things.
Okay.
How about that? Was the name Chestnut? Joey Chestnut getting knocked off yesterday in the eating contest.
That's yeah.
crazy. Let's see here. Then we had Cesaro versus Cena in a classic Raw match anyways.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It was a good match. It was a good match. I enjoyed that one. Apparently at one point Cesaro flipped off John Cena.
Mm.
And they blacked it out on USA.
Interesting.
Yeah, I read about that. On
I missed that.
I missed it too. And then I saw that they showed like the GIF version that somebody took off of something, I don't know. And it was like, wow, he gave him like the double middle finger. I'm like, why did they do that? You're on TV. You can't do that. So tonight, the biggest thing I think tonight on Raw is going to be how is Owens going to react to losing his NXT title?
He should destroy everything. Yeah.
Yeah, and just murder Cena. Like, I think he should literally take a gun to the ring and like start shooting him from the knees and go up.
It's your answer to everything.
Pretty much. I think it works for him. And then, of course, we've got... This was one of my highlights from last week's Raw as well.
But not for the reasons that people might think.
I love Rusev now. And it's directly because Ziggler and Lana have such zero minus black hole chemistry. There's zero chemistry. It's made Lana... Like, I used to love Lana.
Mm-hmm.
And this made her look bad in my eyes.
Yeah.
Like, I still love her Instagram because half of it's bikini pictures of her. It's like if you have a female friend who's dating somebody and you just don't agree with it. And you don't say anything because you're like, go ahead and do it. You know, it's her life. I'm just her friend. I don't really care. But it's like, I really like this person and they're lowering themselves. I love Dolph Ziggler. He's
mm-hmm.
great.
Mm-hmm.
They're terrible together.
Yeah, they are.
They are awful together.
Did it bother you during Lana's promo that she was she kind of flipped the whole situation around? Because remember when her and Rusev came out, she was in the position of power. She was the one
right.
controlling him,
right?
Essentially, and then she during this promo she said, "No, Rusev made me be this way."
Yeah,
it seemed like it took Lana from a position of strength to just being, you know, another valet for a wrestler.
Which, when she was sort of using Ziggler to get back at Rusev, also put her in a position of strength.
Yeah.
She's using this boy toy, and now she's his girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, she's his.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
It is really annoying.
You know, the one thing that might change things around for me, though, it's so simple, so silly, is if Lana went glam. Same as Ziggler. get her out. Because the suit bugs me. The suit works so well with Rusev. It does not work at all with Ziggler.
I agree with the fact that she needs new ring attire.
It's like Reigns wearing the Shield stuff.
But I feel like if she just apes what Dolph is wearing, mm-hmm. it's going to make her more an extension of him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
instead of her own person.
He should start wearing the suits.
There you go. Pant suits.
Anyway, so Rusev came out and he called Lana. He said, "How do you say you are a cold fish?"
Yeah, instead of kissing her, it was like kissing a ring post.
Kissing a ring post. That was the best burn. I was so on the Rusev train at that point. I'm like, yeah, you tell her. You tell her.
We can tell the crowd wasn't into the Lana Dolph segment because they were chanting what while she was dropping her promo.
I know. That's the worst. And then Summer Rae comes out. I'm sure she's a nice person. She's Ugmo, though. And she starts talking, and you see Rusev in the background.
Looking super annoyed. It was hilarious.
So annoyed. He could not stand that shit. It was hilarious. That should be their angle. Not necessarily that it's like a traditional, like, oh, now I've got Summer Rae come with me to the ring, and I like her. It should be like she's just a hanger-on.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of annoyed with her, and he's like half the time he'll sort of be standing there, just like... And she'll be behind him and she'll be like, "Hey, Rusev," and he'll be like, "Oh, God, somebody should put a cowbell on you." Somebody should put a cowbell on you. I don't know why you're always around me. Oh, God. So, is Rusev, is it going to show? My question for this week is tonight on Raw, is Rusev, is it going to show anal penetration?
Oh,
is
goodness.
Rusev going to have anal sex with Summer Rae? Probably not, because he's on crutches and shit.
Yeah, it's not the Attitude Era anymore, too. You can't do that.
I'm pretty sure they... Remember that time they literally showed Terry Runnels' cooter on Raw?
Yeah, vaguely.
Showed her junk. He got to see, like, inside. Fucking Attitude Era. They did not care. Oh, man. All right, so anyways, that's our going in Raw cap and Raw preview. It should be a fun one tonight. I'm most looking forward to seeing Owens.
Yeah, me too. Owens is my new favorite wrestler.
He's going to fuck some people up. You know why? It's because he's just a fat version of me.
It's because he's really, really good.
I know, exactly. He's a fatter version of me. I'm really, really good. And he's got pubis on his hair.
Okay.
On his face.
Okay.
His gut just looks so pregnant. It's so round.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to like just bring it down. Like, look at Bray Wyatt. He's got a good power gut. That works.
Do you think Owens needs to bring the gut down or kind of girth up overall on the chest?
That could be, too.
It improves the angle of your
estimation.
He needs
something between his titties and his gut, because I feel right now there's like a space there.
Like with Owens, he's generally in shape,
mm-hmm.
except he's just got a little extra in the middle. Whereas Wyatt...
so much there.
Whereas Wyatt is just kind of generally kind of girthy.
He's got so much in the gut, though. There's so much in the middle. It's a lot. All right, time for the gorilla position.
Yeah.
So I want to spice it up a little bit. So this week we're going to debate the biggest what a mess moments in wrestling history. So biggest moments where you're like, oh, this is a clusterfuck. What is going on here? For example, WCW had their Scott Hall drunken angle.
Mm-hmm.
Where he would literally kind of like the guy had addiction problems in real life,
yeah,
which
legit.
Is sad and needs and you know should be something that's handled privately with respect and whatever. But they made an angle out of it.
Yeah, they shouldn't exploit that for television.
Absolutely not. That was a mess. I like to see Scott Hall powerful. You know, I threw this one in here. Super Clash. It was when the AWA,
no, I remember
the NWA,
were, yeah.
I know, for people who might not know.
I feel like that was more of a clusterfuck backstage than it would be during the actual card, because it's like everybody angling to not lose.
That's the best thing about it, though, is that everybody just didn't want to get in. Like, they couldn't come up, they couldn't have, like, some sort of mediator or somebody coming out and saying, okay, let's make this all straight for everybody so everybody wins. It was just all the promoters in a room, like, just yelling at each other. No, I want to do it this way. I want to do it this way. I want my guy to win. I want my guy to win.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Exactly.
Jeff Hardy literally came to the ring in a TNA match against Sting, just loaded. Loaded.
Yeah.
And the look on Sting's face
was just so annoyed.
So
he was like Rusev on Raw times 10.
So pissed off. It was great. But again, sad because Jeff Hardy is a mess.
Yeah.
But hilarious because Sting had to then deal with that mess. The Shockmaster, probably the biggest mess we ever saw in wrestling, because if you look at everybody involved with that, you had like Sid, mm-hmm. Arn was there. Mm-hmm. Who was the Shockmaster?
It was it the guy that was it John Tenta?
That sounds right. That sounds correct. It just seemed like that was a period when shit could go so bad, and it did with the Shockmaster.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime Sid was around, I felt like things could go really bad. Not just really bad, but funny bad. Because Sid made things funny bad.
Yeah. He did.
The Ultimate Warrior, when he came to WCW and cut his promo on Hulk Hogan.
Is this the undebeatable?
Yeah, the undebeatable promo. I mean, he was obviously, this is just standard Warrior. He's a nutcase and his shtick was fucking, you know, he didn't know what the fuck's coming out of his mouth. But it was just, I think this was the first time I was like, because remember, we all saw this and we were like, oh, Warrior's coming back. This is going to be fun. And it was just a hot, hot, stinky mess.
That whole program was awful.
That entire program was just god awful, and it was hilarious.
It was all done just so Hogan could get his win over the Warrior, pretty much.
I know, and it's so bad. Buff Bagwell versus Booker T on Monday Night, or this is during the Invasion angle.
Yeah, I watched that after you put this on the list, and it wasn't as awful as I remember it being.
Really?
There's only a couple of botched spots.
I think the fact that this one match turned Vince off of the idea of having WCW as its own brand,
yeah,
under the WWE fold, I think it, because it turned him off so much, that it completely changed the direction of that storyline. And I mean, you know, I'm not going to say the business, but at least the storyline business for a while, because who knows what would have happened if they had like a stellar match, like, oh my mm-hmm. God, mm-hmm. people are really into the WCW. Let's make this a new brand instead of SmackDown or Raw, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that one was pretty big, and it got Bagwell fired.
Yeah.
So there's that. I think it was a combination of the match and Bagwell's attitude.
Yeah.
I think from what I remember, Bagwell just had a shit attitude.
Yeah, that might have been what it was then.
What is this? Chronic versus Kane Taker?
Yeah, they had a tag team match at a pay-per-view, and I couldn't find the actual match on YouTube, but
yeah.
There was an article I found about it, and someone posted some GIFs from the match.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And it's just botch after botch. I remember reading about it.
Who the fuck is Chronic?
It's Brian Adams and Brian Clark.
I thought they were... Oh, they were part of the Invasion.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were part of the Invasion.
Yeah, because in WCW, they were Chronic.
Yeah, I remember them being in WCW being Chronic. I just remember that they brought those guys over to WWE.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, funny. That's hilarious. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The Finger Poke of Doom, that's a huge, I mean, that's like top, that's up there with Shockmaster.
Yeah.
In terms of just franchise, almost like franchise killing. Like that might have single-handedly killed WCW.
If it didn't, it was one of the things it did for sure.
That was one. That was just sort of the result of why WCW was going.
Because it wasn't just that the NWO getting back together, which unto itself was stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
Just prior to that, it was when Nash beat Goldberg for the belt, and it kind of took a lot of the wind out of Goldberg's sails. Oh,
and WCW sales.
Yeah,
exactly. Like he was the perfect champion for them at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He really was.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Undertaker versus Giant Gonzalez. You know, it's funny because I was watching them. The network has the best big men in the business special documentary thing, and they go over all the best big men. It was pretty cool. It was a pretty neat one. And they spent a good 10-15 minutes on each big man throughout the ages, and Giant Gonzalez was in there. And it was mainly because apparently he was just a really good guy. Like, he was a really sweet guy. And so it was funny. They were sort of doing some retrospective, cleaning up of that match. They were it wasn't that bad. It was, you know, it was what it was.
It's pretty lousy.
Whenever you can take Taker to his limit in the middle. Like, it was, like, the only time Taker, like, didn't... I forget. How did Taker win that match? Was it a pin? I don't remember. I seem to remember them saying that, you know...
I feel like he just did a bunch of clotheslines. And then
or was it them. Was it like a count out or something?
Yeah, it was something lame.
I think it might have been a count out. Like, he didn't actually beat him. It was like a count out.
That sounds right.
Something like that, where they were like, yeah, you know, he's the only guy who didn't really get beat by The Undertaker in WrestleMania. Like, whatever. Yeah, he came out and you can see his bush. It was weird.
It wasn't real Bush, though.
He was a big creep. Oh, I know. It wasn't real Bush. I'm just saying. They made Bush on his costume.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
Well, it's better than having an airbrushed penis on there.
I don't think it is.
It wasn't the Attitude Era. You couldn't show airbrushed penis.
They literally showed her vagina. That happened.
Yep.
Now it's time for the best part. Oh, so what's the biggest, what a best moment?
I'm going to go with a finger poke. Wow. It killed the company.
It did. It totally cleared. On the other hand, Super Clash might have killed three.
Oh, we could have put David Arquette and or Vince Russo winning the WCW that
killed,
belt. Exactly.
See, there were so many things that killed WCW. Yeah. Hope you guys can all are getting a good kick listening to my fucking dog in the background.
Yeah, she's barking a lot.
I know. I can't do anything about that.
All right, Kayfabe Cornery.
Time for Kayfabe Corner. It's our favorite time of the year. I challenge Larson this week. Next week, he'll challenge me. Okay, here we go. See if you can figure out. I got to figure out a trivia. I'll figure out a trivia question at the end.
Okay.
A bonus question, that is.
Okay.
Kayfabe Corner. Real or fake?
Yeah.
The following names. Are they real or fake? Keep your own score at home. Let us know in the comments or on the Twitters at Steven Larson or at Steven Larson. Kayfabe Corner.
Yeah.
Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Keep your own tab.
I am.
Tony St. Clair.
Fake.
Real.
Okay.
The Masked Avenger.
Real.
Very good. Brittany Beavis.
That's a great name. Real.
Fake. But I got annotations next to all these. Ron Regal.
Fake.
Real.
Damn it.
Union Jack.
Union Jack. Real.
Fake.
Damn it. One of five so far. That's not good.
It's not good. Billy Beans.
Fake.
Very good. Very good. Dave Taylor.
Dave Taylor. Oh, that's real.
Very good. And who was this? Oh, yeah. Who was Dave Taylor?
Oh, shit.
Okay. This is your trivia question. I'll do it now.
Okay.
What tag team was Dave Taylor in?
Let me think about that.
If you can, okay. Number one, we'll get to that in a second. Have you figured out the theme yet?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Next.
Yeah.
The Pint Master.
The Pint Master?
Yes.
Fake.
Very good. Very good. Nigel McGuinness.
Real.
Very good. Very good. The White Angel.
Fake.
Real. Sir Brutus Angus.
Fake.
Very good. And the last one. Atoll Shrewsbury.
Fake.
Very good. What'd you get?
Seven.
You got seven?
Yeah.
You came back from one out of five and got seven?
Yeah. I got all of them right from 6 to 12.
Okay, so have you figured out the theme?
I think they're all British.
Very good. They're all British. Okay. So I'll ask you now, knowing the theme, what tag team was Dave Taylor in?
Dave Taylor. He's probably Davey Boy Smith, so he'd be the British Bulldogs.
Incorrect. That's a good guess. That's a really good guess. I looked up. I was going to try to do Davey Boy Smith, but he only ever wrestled under Davey Boy Smith and the British Bulldog.
Huh.
These are all British. Tony St. Clair, real guy. Masked Avenger, real guy. I think he was... Shit. Oh, he was Chris Adams.
Yeah, that's right. I knew he was Chris Adams. I've heard that name before.
Brittany Beavis is actually... Paige wrestled under Shariah Bevis, which is, I think, her real name.
Oh, okay. That's
but, not, that but it wasn't familiar. Beavis. It was Bevis.
Yeah.
Ron Regal was actually another name for William Regal. Union Jack was fake, but of course that's a British flag.
Yeah.
Billy Beans for breakfast.
Yeah.
That was fake.
I'm surprised you didn't name him Banger Beans.
Damn it. See, that's a good one. Pint Master, of course, they refer to pints as, you know, beers as pints. Sir Brutus Angus, actually, Sir Brutus Magnus is the dude in TNA known as Magnus. Mm-hmm. I just changed the last name. Atoll Shrewsbury. Atoll is actually a first name of a guy named Atoll. I forget. It's something relevant. But he's from Shrewsbury, so I just changed the last name. So yeah, you got seven. Yeah, so
you still didn't tell me what the tag team was.
The Blue Bloods with William Regal.
Oh, okay. So that would be my second guess was something with William Regal. I forgot he was in a tag team called the Blue Bloods. So.
Yeah. So that's Kayfabe Corner. Let us know how you guys did. Let me just double check you. Let me just double check something here really quick. Let's see here. Hold on. Oh, you know what? I actually kind of fucked up.
Mm.
Ron Regal is fake.
What number was that?
That was 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, that's what I said was fake, didn't I?
I did. So yeah, that was that. Okay, so you got that one right. So you got eight.
I got eight.
Jeez. Man, I gotta up my game.
You do. What'd you get last week? 4?
Yeah, 4. It was terrible. I don't know, man. I think in the wrestling game of Kayfabe Corner, so far you got my number.
Larson is king.
All right, that's this episode of Going In Raw. When is Battleground?
A couple weeks.
Oh, a couple weeks away. Did we announce last week what the book of the match was?
Yeah, we did.
Starrcade 85, right?
Yeah.
Starrcade 85 is your book of the match. Check it out and tune in when we do Battleground with Dan. But next week we'll be back for another episode of Going In Raw. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks a lot.